Welcome to Cut From the Same Hymn, a faith-based podcast created to help the unsaved find him, the uncertain would have complete confidence in him, and encourage the believer to stay with him. Come on this journey where we're all about helping you find your way to Jesus.
If I could just.
If I could just.
If I could just.
If I could just.
Touch the hem of his garment.
What it do, family? Welcome to the Cut From the Same Hem podcast, episode 3. I'm your boy Tim J with my dude
Trev.
Okay, we're gonna have
it
to work
in
on
a
that
streaming situation where computers are buffering. It's not me, it's you. It's never me.
It's never us. Oh man, and we so happy and delighted that y'all are tuning in, listening in, watching us, subscribing, commenting. We've been getting some good feedback from the fams, and you know, y'all are part of the family now. So yeah, we're getting some feedback and all that good old stuff. So we're excited for that. But man, yeah, Jay, how's life?
Life is cool. It is full of surprises. Surprise. I went to the doctor since the last time we recorded, not met, because I see you all pretty often. But yeah, I went to the doctor because these eyes of mine, and that was just not what I was looking for. Insurance is okay, but I don't know. I know now why Walter White became Heisenberg. Not that I plan on doing those things, but yeah, you know, it's high out there. It's expensive out there. So yeah, y'all pray for my peepers that they get right. And for all those that don't know, I need cataract surgery, which is wild because I look so young. And yeah. I am, you know?
He got geriatric eyes.
So I don't know what's happening here, but it's wild. It's wild. But the rest of everything else is good. The fam is good. The kids are great. So what more can I say?
Life is good.
Yeah, life is good. It's great. It's sweet. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Hey, man, that's you can't say that.
That's what they say.
That's that churchy stuff.
I know.
We don't do that
that's
here.
That's why I said it.
We don't do that here with your peepers.
That's why I said it.
Got peepers. Got to get the peepers fixed.
I don't even know what that means, but, you know, it's one of those things.
Being blessed and highly favored.
God is good all the time.
And all the time, God is good.
He is good.
It's true, but they use that as a cliche.
Yeah,
it ain't real to them. Yeah. Shakespeare's, but
that's me.
Well, good.
So we're going to see. I'll pray for the boy.
Insurance.
Get my eyes, get the work in. I need that 2020 back. I had it forever in a day, and then now I'm like, just doing bad. Struggling to read menus.
That's actually kind of true. That's, he's the guy with the light on. Hit the menu. He's that
Sadly,
guy.
I have become that person. That person that's like holding it far out, and you're just like, that's not working. Then you bring it in closer, and you're just like, that's not working either.
At least he's not. He's not blaming the light. Man, is it dark in here? Nah, he's like,
I'm moving it back and forth, which makes it even wilder when I'm trying to study. Aww. So that makes it hard. I'm trying to study. Now I have to go to a real lit place because the bed is the Bible reading space, and it cannot be anymore because I'm not reading until late, and I don't want to disturb my wife by turning on the brights. So I've been booted to the office to
turn on all the lights
to read, to get the bright lights, the real lights. So yeah, but that's me. Let me get off the soapbox so you can go.
Okay.
All the time talking about my eyeballs.
Hey man, you need to see. You need to see. Nah, life's cool. Life's been lifing. You know, Trip had his rehab today, so that was good. That was all good. He's not liking it. So he's trying to take stuff off, you know, like, ah, get this stuff off, you know, and they trying to feed him, you know, to be like, oh, you want a Cheerio? He'd be like, yeah, get all this. And then he's like, ah, I still go take it off.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm smart. But yeah, besides that, dealing with the church. So church is pretty good, you know, he getting some. Getting the ACs working again, finally. That's good.
That's
so good. And so we got the ACs together, the electricity, the electricians are coming. So, oh, yes, because the devil has been moving. And so, you know, when the devil is moving, that means we are doing something right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm happy we are doing something right, because if the devil wasn't moving, then who team we actually on?
Might be on his side.
So that's good, and we just, you know, having a great time with that. Wife is good. The girls, they're in school. You know, they're trying to run for. Well, Trinity's trying to run for a class representative.
They have
it? Yeah, for a Stuco. And I'm like, how are you in fourth grade with a Stuco?
They have
it.
That's
yeah, okay. No, yeah. So it's like pop for Trinity, because she's the best. I don't know, it was something. Pop for Trinity, because popcorn and Trin. And I was like, that's what I don't know. But anyway. It was actually really good. I liked it. Team, how y'all been doing? How was y'all week this week?
Checking in
with y'all, team. They looking at us like, hurry up. You hear them laughing. They're giggling.
So far, the week is good.
Can't complain.
Blessed and highly favored.
Man, y'all churchy folks, man. Y'all see what we've been dealing with? We dealing with some church people here. I mean, pew warmers. That's what we did. We dealing with some pew warmers, not church people. Pew warmers, CMEs.
End of the pew warmers.
End of the
ones that got to put that one finger up to.
Oh, to get out.
Yeah, they don't plan on staying long.
Them
what, put
CME.
Up one finger?
It's supposed to be like, I don't know.
I
think it's the universal usher hand code. We'll
Google. We'll Google that. We'll get the answer to y'all by the end of the episode.
Yeah, because that's just wild. That
what
is kind of true.
What the one finger means, I don't know.
Because I thought it was information. Like, I need some information, please. Like, what? You're right. What does that mean?
I don't know. I only know this.
Excuse me?
This is attention.
Yeah, give me the attention. Yeah,
I feel like it draws attention, because isn't that what you do when you're like trying to get the check at a restaurant? Like,
you do this? Check, please. Oh, yeah. Check, please. Check, please. Oh, check. Yeah, the check. Oh, wow. But that's good. So, blessed and highly favored. You had a great time. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Blessed and highly favored. Something about, what did you say? Not complaining.
Not complaining. No, can't complain. Can't complain. And then. It's been so far so good. So far so good is the best one. That one seems more realist. Yeah. The other one seemed cop out answers. Like,
I mean, I always hit people with can't complain.
Yeah.
It sounds like cool.
Yeah.
I got it all covered. Don't ask me anything.
Don't ask. Anywho. So what we got going on today? What we gonna talk about today, man? What we got on our mind? What's on the plate? What's on the docket? Because I see the one girl that said blessed and highly favored wrote something on this whiteboard.
Like mumbo jumbo. And I already told you I can't see, so
yeah. And it's a big board, and we still.
But
I can't even see, and I got decent eyes, and.
Are we talking about being thirsty?
Yeah,
being
thirst trap.
Thirsty.
Thirst trap.
Thirst trapping?
Thirst trapping. And we have a perfect example of that earlier today. The thirst trapping. It was like thirst trapping or something.
Thirsty. Trapping.
One of the girls thirst trapping.
In need of H2O. Living H2O.
Yep. And she brought us water at that well. She brought us that water. Yeah. She brought us that water. That water from the well. But yeah, we're going to be talking about the woman at the well, man. John 4 is pretty dope. The Samaritan woman and Jesus, they had a conversation, and the conversation was pretty interesting. It was very dope. And so yeah, man, but let's pray it up, and then we'll dive in. Yeah. All right, dear God, As we go through this lesson or go through this talk, we pray now that something will be said to touch the hearts, the minds of your people, and those who are not saved will probably get to know you. Load our lips, clear our thoughts to make them clear and concise so we can reach somebody effectively. And we just thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for your word. Pray that your word goes forth and transform somebody's life. In your son Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. John 4. I think we had some readers. People like the interaction with y'all ladies. Y'all going to get on camera one day.
One day.
One day y'all going to get on camera. Y'all going to get on this camera. But we're going to be looking at John 4. Read a couple of verses out of it. You can start at one and we'll just read a couple of verses.
Is it one?
Oh, well, because John talks about, yeah, go ahead and read it. It don't matter. Go ahead and read it until I tell you to stop. Come on, come on. That's going to be a good one. Let's go. You can read well.
John 4 and 1 says, "Now when Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was winning and baptizing more disciples than John, he left Judea.
It's okay. You keep reading.
I can't see.
Oh, okay. Well, can we get somebody that got...
It's contagious.
It's contagious.
It's contagious.
Wow.
It's going around.
Let's reverse.
It's coming.
Be careful.
All right. John 4, 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs... go through Samaria."
I know. King James is funny, ain't it?
I told y'all. I stay away.
"Then coming he to need. A city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with this journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Keep going.
We can get one more verse.
"Go the woman saith to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?"
Yeah, we could stop there. I think that'd be good to stop. That's a lot to unpack there, Jay. That's a lot to unpack. Jesus is going to the desert. He said he must go through. What'd he say? I need to go through, must go through, M through.
I must need
to go through Samaria. And Samaria is like the shortcut to get from Jerusalem to Galilee. So he's like, let's take the shortcut. Let's go. And I'm tired. So he stopped at this well and he's like, I'm so tired. They said he was exhausted. All right, that means, guess what, y'all? Jesus is human.
Yeah.
He was a real person.
Thirsty.
He was, like, famished. He was tired. And the scripture says it was the sixth hour. That means it was noontime. It's the hottest part of the day. So Jesus and the disciples were walking through Samaria, went to the plot at the well at the hottest part of the day. The disciples done left to go get something to eat. And the woman came at the hottest part of the day to draw some water. Why in the world would the woman draw some water at the hottest part of the day? It don't even make sense. You don't even supposed to be doing that, sis. We don't do that. We go and draw in the early part of the day or at night. We ain't drawing in the hot part of the day because you got to take that water back to wherever you're going. Sweat mode. And so... that's what's happening. But Jay, what you got? What you got? Because Jay got some stuff. Jay got some stuff talking about this
how
thirst.
How far did we get into that reading? We left off at what? What was that last thing?
On 12.
I told y'all I have horrible.
Oh, we should have got to 13. My bad.
No, I'm sorry.
We should.
We did get to 13?
No, we got to 12.
I don't know. I just wanted to know what the words were. But Jesus telling old girl to give me drink sounds rude. That's the first thing I got. Like,
give me drink.
Like, not, hey, excuse me, ma'am. By chance, do you think that you could use your water holding device to fetch me up some water? Nope.
Give me drink.
Give me drink. Give me drink. Sounds a little rude, Jesus. I don't know. But with that, she's shocked. Did we get into that? Mm-hmm. I don't want to just get the jumping. Mm-hmm. You got into that her shockedness?
No.
So she's shocked.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, taken aback. You're asking me? A Jew speaking to me, a Samaritan? That sounds interesting. Because Jesus speaks to us, sinners. Yo, Jesus has been, he's looking for you. It's not by coincidence that Jesus just so happened to just plop down at this well made by Jacob. Doesn't work like that. Jesus knew, I'm about to run into this lady. You know, I don't know what the disciples thought, but when he told them that he wanted to go that way. But hey, that's what it was. I got an appointment with someone that don't even know what they're about to run into. Which happens with us. Yo, we, wherever it is, but you don't know what you're doing, and just smack, boom, you just run into Jesus. Well, it might not be Jesus. You might run into somebody sent by Jesus.
Sent.
And the question that you might get asked might not be what you think it should be. Might sound rude. Cause we get that a lot. Christians, we get a stigma placed on us sometimes for being rude, for being overconfident, for being judgy, for being a lot of things. And well, I'll take some of that. We are a lot of those things, but we're told to be confident because we have assurance. And some of it is just because the Bible is offensive. So give me drink sounds a couple of steps above assertive, but it is necessary. So just something to keep in mind, especially when you're talking about, oh, question already. Yes.
So I actually was talking to someone this week kind of about the perception a lot of non-believers or newcomers to Christ, kind of how they feel that Christians are judgmental. So in what ways can we break those barriers so people don't feel that from all their past experiences, that they just kind of put everyone in the same category. So what are ways that we could like break those barriers?
Of being judgy?
Yeah.
Well, are they doing the things that they're being judged of? I guess because there's caveats to it.
It's not a one shot. It's not a one shot go for everything. So if they're doing something that's not right, then you need to call them out as a believer, especially if they're believers.
Well, yeah, that's another. Are they?
Are they a believer?
Yeah, they're new to.
Oh, they're new.
They're
to
new
the faith.
To the faith. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
So what they've heard and what they've seen is just kind of rubbing the wrong way. So they're trying to kind of get a better understanding of.
Right. Oh, thou shalt not judge. Only God can judge me. Right.
Yes. Those kind of things. By Tupac. I'm gonna tell y'all right now. Everyone that stops at only God can judge me, you gotta keep reading.
Yep.
Do not judge lest you be judged with the same measure at which you are judging. But yeah, only God can judge me. Yeah, that was just a really good song by Pac. it's not real. It's not real. Also, not to just go into it, because we'll get into judging, because it's about to sound like some judging is about to happen. But Christians, we do have to do a little. We should definitely do a little bit better, because I think sometimes we being an ambassador for Christ does not mean we are Christ. So we have to be careful with what we're saying, because you can still deliver the truth with coof. So it can happen. You can mean what you're saying. It can be the truth and it not be so offensive, because, again, the word is offensive. But also we should take mind that whatever is that being said, that hopefully it is coming from a place of love, and to not be so offended by it. And the initial response to certain things are offensive. Mm-hmm. My wife, I know she loves me, and she can tell me something, and it can hurt sometimes. But so sometimes your initial response to a thing, you might have to sit with it for a bit and then proceed.
Mm-hmm.
But
like in First Timothy or Second Timothy, it talks about you need to rebuke, reprove. Yeah. And then you got restoration after that. But, you know, you got to rebuke them. That hurts. That means you got to cut out. That hurts. It is going to cut you. But then you reprove. Okay, this is why you was wrong. Let me guide you. Let me show you what's up. The reason why. And then you restore. Okay, now how can we not do this again? And then get back to on the right basis. So, you know, those are things. And love and grace. What is it? Grace and, love and grace. You know, you got to cut them with some love and grace, you know. Be graceful in your rebuke. Yeah, no. Don't be like me, just right to the point, hurt your feelings, make you cry. And then once you're crying, then I'd be like, it's okay, it's okay. Here's a peppermint. Sweeten up a little bit.
Damn, it's just
dead. And we good now, all right? Let's go get something to eat, ice cream, man. Then we're going to talk it out and have a good time, but... Yeah, that you only God can judge me. Man, read your Bible. You're not reading enough. You're not reading. You're not reading.
Sounds judgy, Tim.
Yeah, that sounds very judgy, but it is what it is. It is what it is. Yeah, that is what it is. It's offensive. I'm very, in that case, every time I speak, I'm judgmental. If I'm preaching the gospel, I'm sorry. You and your sin, hey, thou shalt not be a whoremonger. And you're out there being a whoremonger. I'm sorry. I'm judging you, right? Like, that's going to be judging. So don't be a glutton. You eating too much, brother. I mean, that's what it is. So it's just that. That's just what it is. But
getting to him. All right, so loop back. Because
judging,
we went crazy. But yeah, Jesus told her to give me drink. Her response was of shock, because again, this is not custom. It's not custom for number one Jews to be talking to Samaritans, and on top of that, a man talking to a woman. Definitely a Samaritan woman. So she is caught off guard completely by that. And I'm going to kick it back to you.
Yeah. And she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Are you a prophet? You know, like, so culturally speaking, right? Like what Drake, like Jay just said, culturally, Jewish men don't talk to women in public in general. So they don't even talk to their wives in public. So for Jesus to talk to this woman in a public place, at a public space, and she was not of the Jewish culture, he broke all traditional rules, regulations, customs, talking to this woman. Because Jesus is that chain breaker. He breaks chains and he doesn't do what the culture dictates, right? And so, yeah, so that I thought that was pretty pretty neat. And she's like, yo, why are you talking to me? Like, don't you talk to me. But I have to go back to the question of, like, why was she there at noon? Right? Like, it couldn't be coincidental that, oh, Jesus is going to be there at noon and she shows up at noon. This woman, she had a situation, and Jesus start talking about her situation. In verse 10, he said, if you knewest the gift of God and who is that said to thee, give me drink, thou wouldst have asked him, he would have given thee living water. And then the woman said unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to draw. From the well is deep. Whence hast thou living water? Aren't thou greater than thy father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof herself and his children and the cattle? And Jesus answered and said, whoever drinketh of the of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water shall I shall give him shall be him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman, okay, this is by the way, it's about to get judgy, yes? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Saith unto her, thou hast said as well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast then not and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. And thou saidest thou truly. The woman said to her, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Let's stop right there. Said that I was a prophet. Yeah, Jesus told her business. He let it be known that this woman was having an issue. And her issue was she was with five dudes and shacking up with this other guy. And so, you know, but the cool thing about the woman that I like, and this is just a side note, she was honest. She was like, yeah, I had five husbands. And yeah, you're right. The one that, so she didn't deny it. So I love that, because that means this woman is had a contrite spirit, that she actually is like, yo, I'm open to what you have. Because the thirst got her intriguing. The thirst, this water that you're talking about, it intrigued the woman. She was like, yo, let me get that water that you have. Let me get some of that. And there's just so much I want to go through, bro. Like, I don't want to walk it down. Cause like when you look at water, right? In all of the scriptures, when you look at Isaiah, you look at Ezekiel, you look at Jeremiah, you look at all the Old Testament, then when you go into the New Testament, you see this well. Anytime you see a well, Genesis, when you see wells, that means there's going to be a restoration. There's going to be a restoring of what you have lost, and you regained it back, right? So you're going to start seeing those things. And so this woman is going to a well that is of the forefathers of Jacob. Why was that significant? Because she's a Samaritan. She's a mixed breed of Jews and the Babylonians and the Cretans and all, you know, they're just a mixed group of people. So for her to have an idea of where she came from and the idea of a religious, of religion, Judaism, but then also their own religion that's built in. So she's like a mixed religious house. of ideas and stuff, and now you're talking about this living water. All she thought about was just the well.
Yeah.
But Jesus is like, nah, if you knew who you was talking to, he would give you this water that you would never thirst again. You would never thirst. Can I go through another scripture?
Sure.
Can I go through another one? Okay, so in the Beatitudes, right? In the Beatitudes, we look at Matthew chapter 5. And this is where Jesus is talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking, and he's just like, you know, he's saying, blessed are those, I'm going to just read it, Matthew chapter 5, and he says some stuff that was really good, but they lead up to verse number 6 in Matthew chapter 5, and so in Matthew 5, verse 1, we'll go 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the coolest thing, right? What are you hungry and thirsting for? Or what are you hungry and thirsty for, right? And the scripture says righteousness. At the end of the day, it's righteousness. When the woman was at the well, it ended up to be in righteousness. Why? Because she got to see the righteous one, Jesus Christ himself. She basically was a convert at the well. If you keep reading John 4, she became a convert. And then she went and told her husband or the dude that she was with, the men in the town. And then everybody came to go see Jesus. Right. And people were getting saved. She became an Andrew, but of a Samaritan. Right. Okay. Andrew was the one that came to Jesus and brought others to Jesus. Right. That's what she did. She went out and brought others to Jesus. But what did she get? She got righteousness. And the cool thing about like the righteousness that we get when you become a believer in Jesus, it is the exact righteousness that he has. We are on the same level as Jesus for righteousness because we have imputation, and imputation is God's blood is in us and he takes our blood out. So now we're covered, imputed God's righteousness in us as a believer. So what? When God looks at me, he looks at Jesus. Yeah. So that's the cool thing, but it all goes to righteousness. That was just something I saw. So go.
That's good.
I just saw that the righteousness.
It's simple on y'all. So when the woman is saying the things, well, when Jesus is saying the things, the woman is like, it's not hitting, right? Like it's not sticking. Mm-hmm. Jesus is talking about, you know, this living water, referring to the spirit, I got you. Whatever I give you is—it's over. It's me. It's my spirit. I got you. She is confused by this. Never thirst again. Like that. Never thirst again. Just sounds like yo. Like what water is this? Like what do they call Gatorade? The
thirst quencher.
Okay, so. In that space, like she thought that there was something that just had to infinity and beyond, H2O is what this man possessed. So she's like, where is that at? Let me get some of that. Jesus recognizing that, I don't think she got me. You know, like some of y'all favorite preachers do, like, hold on, I don't want y'all to miss this part. Listen close. This is good. Don't miss it. This is what Jesus did. Like, oh, she missed it.
She missed it.
So this is for the slow people in the back. That's what Jesus did her with. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He just didn't say those words. But this is what he was like. Then he just went somewhere else. It sounded crazy. Go get your husband. Go get your husband. And then she says what she says about not having one. I don't have a husband. Ding, ding. You're right. You don't have one. You've had five. Now, when we hear the five, everyone just naturally jumps to like, oh, she's a hoe.
She out there.
She's on a whole nother type of time, right? Like, that's nuts. Because it doesn't say she's widowed five times. Mm. Someone probably bit the dust. Well, a couple of husbands might have bit the dust.
She just
but not
she
all five of them bit the dust. So, you've been married. Five different times. The person you're with right now isn't even your husband. Okay, so that means, hey, you're looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're in need of something that you can't find somewhere else, and you keep pursuing something. I don't know. Let's assume it's love. I don't want to put being a hoe sounds extreme. I don't know what to say that because she is getting married, but
like, she's a shack.
But like, she's just an habitual.
I don't know.
Wife. Yeah, why? Yeah. She just keeps getting. Yeah, she just has.
Maybe she just like getting married.
She just like getting married. I don't know.
We're gonna go with that. Yeah, we're gonna go with that. She just like getting married. Yeah.
So, but. It's something that's missing is the point that Jesus is trying to let her know. Like, you keep on getting married.
Yeah.
You keep on, and you're so desperate for love that you're willing to just lay with someone that's not even your husband to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for something. There's an emptiness within you that apparently you can't feel. You know how I know you can't feel it? Because you failed 5 times already trying to feel it.
You're a serial relationship breaker.
Now you're on your 6. Well, now you're not even on your 6. You've just
shacking up
those 5. So now you've progressed much worse to seeking love in a place that you shouldn't even be looking for it in to begin with. So that was for the slow people in the back moment. So now that was because that's me now telling you that, hey, I can help you with that. I have what you need. I have the water that you need that will never make you need love from somebody else. So whoever it is that's out there, whatever it is that you are thirsty for, or whatever emotions it is that you keep trying to mask, or whatever you're codependent on to get through your day, Jesus is like, you don't have to do that. I'm here. I'm here. I'm all you need.
Yeah.
I'm the only, and that's the only thing that can satisfy us. It's Jesus. So we have the tense, and it's the human thing because God placed eternity in our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. Like whatever it is that we have will never be enough. Never. You'll keep chasing and chasing after things. If it's money, then it's more money. So you're working until whatever you sacrifice, maybe a family, or you sacrifice time with friends, or whatever it is. Like whatever it is, you'll just continue to chase after things, and nothing will ever be enough. And you won't know that whatever it is will never be enough because you don't have Christ, the only thing that can fill you. And what 1 Corinthians, I don't even know how I said Timothy, thinking about my bro that's sitting next to me. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, if I can get it for real, I don't know, I don't want to just shoot off the top of my head and be all types of wrong and butcher it. But it's something to the effect of that we won't understand the things. The things of the Spirit will seem like foolishness to man because we don't have the Spirit. And that's what, you have it? Okay. Yeah.
But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually abrased.
They are foolish to him. It seemed initially foolish to her when Jesus was talking about the water. She just couldn't understand it. She couldn't grasp it. It's the same with us. Somebody's hearing me speak right now and they can't grasp that. Like, oh, how is Jesus going to make me stop wanting to smoke when I'm stressed out? How's Jesus going to make me not want to have sex with random people when I just feel overwhelmed or I don't feel loved and I just need somebody to lay with to make me feel loved? You won't understand it. But if you truly seek God, truly seek Jesus, truly seek after him, the Spirit will reveal it to you. See, a lot of people read and they were like, oh, I read the Bible and I didn't get anything. Well, did you read it to get anything? Genuinely? Did you genuinely read it to get something? Or did you read it to disprove something? Did you read it because you just were raised to read it at night and you have fallen asleep and whatever it is? Or
I was praying.
Yeah, did you read it, or did you read it because it's part of your daily affirmations app?
Manifestations. I'm trash.
But seek him honestly, and some of those desires that you didn't think that you could overcome, you will overcome. It's still work. It's not just going to poof, be gone. my faith is too strong, but it's a time thing. It's a time thing, and it's a heart thing. And you, if you truly want that to be rid of that, then you give it to God and watch. Watch this woman after Jesus said, "Go and get your husband," and well, after that she was like, "Oh, I know that there's a Messiah." Jesus said, "I am He. I'm Him."
He let it be known.
I'm who you talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm Him. She then went, and the crazy part about it, she then went and ran and told everybody. Now, I just told y'all she had five women. Beforehand, I tried to put hoe on her jacket. Now, I'm pretty sure that some of the people felt that way. Like, here it is, hoe, because I'm talking about this is Jesus. Like,
I mean, it know, is what
like,
it
you
is.
You know, like, here she, here's fast, freaky, fanny, whatever. Like, come talking about she done met the Messiah. Like, man, ain't nobody listening to you.
She did something to convince them, though.
But
she
they
did.
Came.
She did something.
I'm sure she's beautiful too.
She had to be beautiful. Five.
She has five.
And she with six right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Six. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, she just ran. She ran and was like, "Yo, like, hey, yo, come see this man that told me everything about me. Come see this man.
All the things I've ever did.
Ever did.
What?
Come see him." Like, and on top of that, like, look at this. Now, no one ever knew, and no, Jesus never confirmed it to anybody.
Mm-mm.
This is the first woman.
Mm.
Now, look at, like, look, that speaks something.
That's significant.
Like, yo, the Savior of the world.
Revealed himself to me.
Revealed himself to somebody that the whole society probably took down on.
Fast Frida.
I was probably gonna be another point.
Fast Frida. Fast Frida.
But yeah, oh Frida, that's a
there you go.
Word.
Yeah,
fast Frida. Yeah,
fast Frida. Yeah.
Yeah, freaky fast Frida. Now, that's the thing. Like, so if again, that goes to show you, like, hey. God, if you are truly sincere, God will show himself to you. Jesus will show himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to accept is the question. But he will show himself to you. He'll show himself to anybody, even the lowliest of the lowest. Don't let that get passed on you. But I hogged the ball for a long time.
No, that's good. That's good. That's where I was going to go. He done spoke. He told everything about me. You know, because they talked about worship.
Yeah.
If you worshiping, who you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? That's actually a good conversation starter. Do you go to church? What church do you go to? Church of Latter-day Saints. Man, we might get, we're going to get in trouble for saying that. Latter-day, because they don't like, you know. No. They run YouTube. But, like, you know, Latter-day Saints and all of that good old jazz. Do you know Jesus? Not the Jesus you know. I don't know. You have good conversations with that. But, yeah. Yeah, bro, that was good. That was good. I just like how she brought, everybody to Jesus.
Yeah.
Once you done... had some water from the living well, from the spring that's flowing. You don't care what people say, what people may think, what people may you know, I guess, you know, look at you and all that. Hey, y'all need to go see this dude, right? The question I always ask myself is, if God has been good to the believer, right, why can't we act like this one person that was an unbeliever who became a believer, I got to tell everybody. Where's that conviction at in a believer's life? I think that's the problem I always have when we look at church and we look at, you know, just believers in general. They're not doing enough. Like throughout the scripture, the people that has been truly touched by Jesus, they go wild. I can't control it. I have to speak on it. I have to say, now I'm not saying you have to be like every conversation is Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Yeah.
But I am saying your conversations should incorporate Jesus in them. There should be some kind, like for us, we be talking about all types of stuff, and then all of a sudden we'll have like a Jesus moment, or we're talking to the team about just nonsense, Jesus moment. Are those conversations happening? I don't know. Are they becoming less and less? Because like her, like, you know, to the question of being judgy. I mean, it is going to be judgy on those conversations when you're telling them about Jesus. It is a judgy situation, just like the woman at the well. He knew everything about it. She had broken relationships, going into another broken relationship and being with somebody, and she was just trying to fill a void. He went to the root. He didn't just go to just the issue. He went to the root of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You need some water. You need this living water. You need some, if you knew who you was talking to. And I just like that. Jesus, like, I'm here. Yeah. And he said it to a woman, and that's significant when they say, oh, the Bible and stuff is degrading women and all of that. I'm like, bro, if you actually read your Bible, he went to Mary. He talked to Mary. Hey, go run and tell Peter. I done resurrected. Go tell Peter. You know? Yeah. He said, look, who... The first person resurrected, who did Jesus go talk to? He talked to Mary. Simple. So right here, the first person he revealed himself to.
Woman.
The Samaritan woman. A Gentile. Wait, not a Jew.
Yeah, nah.
A Gentile.
That's
so guess what that means? You and I.
Yeah.
He went to us. And then if we read a little further past the woman, he started talking about, like, you know, the harvest and like reaping and sowing and all of that. And he was like, bro, y'all don't understand what is happening. You know, laborers, like, y'all don't understand what's going on. This is what it is. It's all about going out to the other people. And then you start seeing Jesus start having that Capernaum ministry. Let me go and start talking to all other types of people, just not to the Jews. So it's very interesting that Jesus is for all people. That's what I take. He's for everybody. But you have to be real with yourself. The Samaritan woman, she was real in her knowing what she was doing. All right? Can I go back to Matthew?
Yeah.
Let me go back to Matthew. And then Matthew was actually pretty cool. Because
How wild is it?
Matthew is actually pretty cool. Because Matthew, when you look at the first four Beatitudes, they lead up to hunger and thirst. Like, for instance, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Right. When we look at the poor in spirit, it is those who know that I can't do it by myself. I don't have what it is and what it takes to be to get into the kingdom of heaven. I don't have it. Blessed are the poor, the ones who recognize I can't do it by myself. I'm not holy enough. I'm not righteous. I'm not perfect. I don't meet the step. That's the poor in the spirit. But then it leads into, watch this, it leads into blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It grieves them to be doing things that they know they shouldn't be doing. Mourning the spirit, like I'm mourning that, like I'm being grieved. So now you got a contrite heart and you got you know that you can't make it yourself. Right. Then it leads into the meekness. Meek is strength under control, right? So it said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, right? The meekness here is like, look, I am, this is basically what Paul's saying, buffet my body, putting it under submission. It's like, yo, I'm putting it under submission. I know that in my own strength, I can't never make it.
Yeah.
I can't do it, right? But then we go to verse number 6, right? Blessed are which they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The hunger here is simply extreme famished. I need it or I will die. Have you ever been that hungry? Have you ever been that hungry? Like, yo, I'm so hungry, bro. My stomach is like, I'm actually hungry. Not just I want something to eat, but I'm like, yo, I'm actually hungry. Like, I'm starved right now, right? I'm so hungry. So for being this hungry and I want some things, he's saying, look, I got this extreme hunger, but then you just can't just be hungry. You got to be thirsty, too. Because hunger comes thirst.
Yeah.
It's natural, yeah. Right? Yeah. So he was like, I'm hungry, I'm extreme famished, but I'm also extremely thirsty. I'm dry. It's Sahara Desert. Yeah. I'm parched. I need something to do this. But what are you trying to quench it with? The righteousness. I want the righteousness of God. You are so hungry. You are so broken. You are so uncontrollably don't know what is happening to your life. You know that you can't do anything in your own strength. And you saying, I need that. What you got? What you got? Nothing? Nothing? They looked like they was having something. They was getting ready to say something. They
about to pull the cords.
They was about to, yeah, oh, that's what it is. And
contemplating it.
But what is
one
the reward?
The
cool thing about this is the reward. This is the craziest thing, and then I'm done. The craziest thing about this whole passage, well, I'm just done with the, The whole thing I'm done with is this. It says, if you hunger and you thirst after this righteousness, what is the result? You will be filled. The woman wanted to be filled. She didn't know what she was looking for, but she saw a man. She got something. He had the juice, the water, thirst, quench her.
Yeah.
She got filled with the water, and she ran and told that to everybody that she know. But for like us, we have to be hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Everything you can have. You can have it all. But you got to seek after. You got to be hungry and thirsty for it. You got to have this contrite spirit, this heart, like I'm broken and I can't fix myself. Once you do that, you can have this righteousness. But ain't that what an unbeliever does to become saved?
Yeah.
They recognize that they're something ain't right in them. They recognize that they are a sinner. Like they fallen short. They recognize this, that I can't do it in my own strength and my own might. I need something so that I can, that's going to help me in this time of need. And they get saved and they go do something. Like, it's just amazing. But yeah, that's all I got, man, for Matthew. That's all I got. I throw back the rock.
We're going to hit one last point, then we gonna get out of here.
Because they're looking at us kind of crazy.
What is that? What is that? What is that? The brain doesn't do what the brain used to do. It is not Thayat. Nope, it's John. It's
19.
The one you did it right.
The one you didn't write. With all them hearts, though, you wrote hearts.
John 19.
But you couldn't write John 19.
Wrote John, I see you.
Yeah, I see you. Really? Really?
John 19 and 28.
Yeah, she really didn't write that, did she? She really didn't.
So good when you can shift the blame.
Yep. It wasn't your eyes.
I'm trying to blame it on my eyes.
Yeah, but she wrote in a pink marker and all this other stuff.
Okay, y'all ready?
We are ready.
John 19:28 says, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty.
Mm. That's the one. I'll read that next one too, 29, because that's where it gets good. Juicy.
A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch.
Hyssop.
Hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Hmm. I'll let you. You want? I'll let you.
No, you go. You go.
Me?
You go. Yeah, you go.
Oh, brother, you're too kind. So, again, since my bro said earlier initially when Jesus came to sit down, like, yo, being that he is a human, he was thirsty. He was thirsty. After sitting on a cross for however long, after being marched from judgment hall to judgment hall however long, after being beaten to the point of being unrecognized for however long, I would imagine you would be thirsty. Now, to request thirst right before you die, request something to drink, and then your next thing to do is to die. I don't know. You would just imagine that you would just die, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I think I thought that there had to be a little bit more with that I'm thirsty. And John, it doesn't record what he says right before that. I believe you have to go to, what, Luke?
You can go to Matthew.
Matthew
27 and Mark 15.
Okay. See, that's why I hang with him.
Oh, no, you got Luke. You got Luke, too. 23.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew. See, it was a... Yeah, you're right. Bro. I had to think about Luke. I had to think about
it.
Sorry, guys. They said I can't be rubbing the couch. The couch is nice. It's comfortable. It is. It's a nice couch. You like to rub it. It's nice. I'm sorry. It's comfortable. Sorry, guys. Yeah,
before that, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Is his words before I thirst. So we just got through talking about Jesus and the Spirit being the water.
Mm-hmm.
So now he feels like, oh man, like I'm abandoned now. It's me by myself now. I thirst. Is one. I don't have the Father. I thirst. I need something. Could it be? Or also, could it be the fact that it's like, yo, I thirst in the midst of that, yo, all these people here, my being on this cross is for them. I thirst. I thirst for you. I'm thirsty for you. I'm thirsty. I desire. That's thirst. Desire. Want something badly. So Jesus in his final moments is that I'm thirsty for you. I want you. I want you. I want you to want me. This is for you, my body. This sacrifice is so you can get back right with God, so you can be in good standing with God. I want you. I'm thirsty for you. But instead, they missed it. And the response that they gave him was, now that text that was read says, "Summer wine, that sounds sweet. That sounds wholesome.
This is bitter, bro.
Sounds jolly." They gave him just sour wine, vinegar. So I'm directing this to you now. I'm taking that off of them. That's history. So you now, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So Jesus is knocking right now on your heart. Jesus, the same one that sacrificed his body on the cross for you. The same one that wants you to not be unsatisfied in life and doing a lot of things that just won't do you any good. I'm here, stretched out, wanting you to want me so I can save you. I pray your response is not a bitter, sour one. I pray your response isn't to in return, have a hardened heart. I pray your response isn't to, nah, I don't need that, Jesus. Can't do anything for me. Nah. Got about 10 more years of being outside before I come to Christ. Got 15 more years of being in the streets before I come to Jesus. Got 20 more years of doing whatever I feel like doing before I'm willing to lay down all the things that I should lay down and follow Christ.
I'm 70.
I pray that's not the case.
That's the second time y'all have used that inside
joke.
We're going to use that 70, bro.
Keep watching. Keep watching. It's a cliffhanger. Yeah, I pray that's not the case. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't know if you're going to get a 10-piece, a 15-piece, a 20-piece, or you're going to get 1 second and shot clock. You don't know. We hit 60 minutes. And loosey-goosey. I'm just saying. I just want y'all to get it figured out, man. Because you don't know. I'm going to kick it back to Tim, though.
What's funny, like you said, like it is like the I thirst was like one of the last things, you know, because that's just the fulfillment of scripture, you know. Psalms, mm-hmm. What is it?
22,
42. Yeah, Psalms. Somewhere in Psalms. Yeah. The cool thing I thought was really cool when he says, I thirst, I always think of like, hey, I'm about to say the greatest line known to man. Let me moisten these lips one last time on this earth. I thirst. It is finished. Like the greatest mic drop of all times.
Yeah.
It is finished. I don't know. I just, my mind just weird like that. When he said that, I was like, yeah, because he was loading his lips. Got to moisten them.
That's tough.
One time. Because think about it. It was three other times he wanted something to drink and they didn't give it to him. They made fun of him. The soldiers made fun of him. The people started laughing at him, you know, like, you know, it should have been faster, you know, and all that good old jazz. And then the last one, he's in agony and pain. I thirst. Oh, we got to go get him some summer wine. Like, let's go get him some of that wine. What? Now you want to give him some wine when you see him on the cross? But he was like, yeah, scripture's fulfilled. Now let me give you the greatest one-liner of all times. It is finished. And it was done. It was a wrap. And that was it. But Jay, close us out. I think that was a good wrap up. Close us out because you was on one, so I ain't gonna stop that juicy, loosey, goosey, whatever you just said. let it rain. Go, right. Kill it.
I gotta go back real quick and apologize. I don't know if I need to apologize. I don't really mean apologize.
Don't apologize.
I'm not apologizing. I'm just.
We don't do that. We mean.
I know too many words that have said her. I could have said promiscuous.
Promiscuous girl.
Yeah. So, apologies if that offended you. I am sorry. I didn't mean it.
But if you're acting like I'm just playing.
Yeah, sometimes your brain is going, and yeah, I can't. You can't find that. You can't find the more palatable word.
What
and,
was the kids when we were
went,
kids?
I went into my quick bag.
You were 304. You know, like yeah, you were 304, and then with the calculator,
the wrong bag.
They used to flip it.
Might have been the wrong bag, but let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you have done. We thank you for just allowing us to live and see another day. We thank you for the listeners, God. We pray that if anyone is out there, God, that is thirsty, God, but they are trying to quench their thirst with anything that is less than you, that it would come to mind, God, that that's just not going to work. And we pray that they would come to the realization, God, that it has to be you, it has to be Jesus, and they have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, God, because y'all three are the only thing that can do what needs to be done. So we just pray for the strength, and we pray that the blinders would be removed from those that are seeking something, and we just pray that you would continue to just be awesome and amazing and omnipotent and all the great and mighty things that you are, God. We love you and we thank you. Amen.
We don't want to leave here today without you knowing who Jesus Christ is for yourself. So just say a simple little prayer, man. The scripture says, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. And so as of, you know, like the lady at the well, she was lacking something. And so just like you, you might be lacking something and want something to be filled. So Jesus can fill that. It says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So all you got to do is accept his free gift. And his free gift is him dying on the cross for our sins so that you and I may have eternal life with him, bridging a relationship back with the Father. So just a little simple prayer. It's really simple. I promise you. It's not even a lot of words. It says, all you got to say is like, God, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I know I fall short of your glory and your standard. And I ask now that Jesus come into my life, that he become my savior, that he become my friend, that he become my Lord. He become my master and give me the peace of mind to start walking in the newness of life. And I love you and I praise you. And I want to tell the whole world that Jesus is Lord. And I just want you to come in my life. And that's it. You are now a believer. If you said that prayer, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And so we want to welcome you to the family. Yo, what it do, bro? What it do, sis?
Welcome.
Welcome. And so, yeah. And if you said that prayer, put it in the comments. Put it in the email us. Do something. We want to know if you accepted Jesus, because we want to send something to you. Yeah. Who knows? You might get a video chat from me or something. I don't know. I don't know if that's cool. Is that cool? I don't know. But
is
anywho,
fine with it?
Yeah, I'm cool with that, man. Yeah. Hey, I want to see you, but I want to hear from y'all.
Me.
Yeah, I'm the friendly one. But anywho, that's it. We love y'all. This is episode 3 of Cut from the Same Hymn podcast. I'm Tim J.
I'm Jarrell,
and we are out of here. Y'all need to get to them.
If I could just.
If I could just.
If I could just.
If I could just.
Touch the hem of his garment.